How has your summer been? Awesome. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about mine. And this summer, the Lord decided to bless the Singh family with 2 grandchildren. And so we're very excited about that. And they were not even twins. And so we're really, really excited about that. Of course, this summer we had a chance to spend the last 9 weeks outdoors. And we heard a number of brothers preach the word. And we were encouraged and inspired in a great and tremendous way. And now we're back at Immaculata. Hopefully, we'll get our own facility not too far in the distant future. We're going to have to put out some more chairs here. And that's always a good thing, right? And so we're really, really excited about that. Last week, I had a chance actually to go visit my family and in the Toronto area. My folks live there, as in my parents. Dad's 90, mom's 81, and it's obviously always great to see them. But I went for a number of reasons. And I'll share some of this, and it'll tie into my sermon a little bit, and that is, time flies. I know for some of you who are younger, you don't believe that. But I'll share a story with you that perhaps will get your mind going. I did a wedding of a couple just on Thursday. Yeah, we do weddings on Thursdays now, okay? All right. And so I did their parents' wedding 25 years ago. Back then in the church, 10-year-olds did weddings. I just want you to know that. It is absolutely a sign of the times. And to realize that before you blink, you're having grandchildren. You're doing the weddings of the children of the people that you did 25 years ago. I looked out in the audience when I was there. There were 8 couples that were there that I did the weddings to. And they said to me, one of them said, I wish my kids knew you better so that when they get married, you can do their wedding too. And I said, a man can only do so much. But it's amazing what happens. Time flies. One of the things that we went to the area as well, we tried to kill many birds with one stone. We went, Dwayne actually was there with us. We went to play some golf to raise some money for orphanage in Haiti. And so we did a number of things over the last few days. And, you know, that's a snapshot of how the summer is filled with activities and how we can let things fly by really without realizing it. And if you don't plan accordingly, life can literally pass you by. As we embark on this time, it's important for us to be prepared for it. And I want to share a little bit about that as we continue on this journey. Speaking of family, we have a mother and a daughter who actually moved in from all the way from the East Coast. And that's Sherry and Eva. Please go. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand on up. Yes, we want you to. Come on. We want you to stand on up. There we go. Yes. Sherry and Eva, I've known them for a, well, I've known Sherry for a long, long time. Before we were, Melly and I were married, we were in a church together in Toronto, and it's always great to see people who we've known for a very, very long time. Eva is going to be, is going to Algonquin College, and so, of course, we see a number of students here who are at University of Ottawa, Carleton, and different places that we're going. But I want to start us on this journey. We're going to talk about some things here today, hopefully that's going to inspire and encourage you. One of the things that when I did that wedding on Thursday, for the previous 10 weeks, Melanie and I got together with the couple that we were doing the marriage with, and we did some marriage counseling, some premarital counseling. One of the most important things actually is not the wedding, but the marriage. Of course, the wedding is a day and the marriage is a lifetime. And in order for you to actually understand that, the Bible talks about the concept that on that great day, there's going to be a wedding between the bride and the groom, Christ and the church. And how the bride is going to make herself ready, be dressed with fine linen. One of the things that you do, you prep the couple as much as you can. Preparation is remarkably important. I'm so grateful that people took time to prepare me when I was getting married to Melanie. Not because of her, but because of me. I was stepping into something that I had known nothing about. And I was told some things that was difficult. I didn't necessarily like it, but I was grateful. Today that enables us to be going on to our 34 years getting married, and actually it's only getting better. And I say that to say it's not because I'm such a special person, it's because of one of the main reasons is the preparation that helped me to get there. And sometimes that requires somebody to tell me something about myself that is not necessarily flattering, but it's the truth. I appreciate James a few minutes ago. I was walking and my coat was tucked in my pants at the back there, and James pulled me over. I thought he was going to rebuke me as he normally does, but he pulled me over and he said, "Your jacket is tucked in your pants." I appreciate that. I appreciate him loving me enough to tell me, hey, there is something going on here. There are times that we need people in our lives to tell us the truth. The previous 10 weeks when we got together with this couple was not always, hey, it's going to be so great, it's so awesome. There were some times that required a tough talk. Because I don't like them. Au contraire, mon frère. It's because we do love you. And so what I want to talk about today, as we embark on a journey for the next 3 years, is to prepare you. We've been doing some preparation. We'll continue to do some preparation. And so one of the things that helps me walk in my life is to paint a picture and find myself in a story in God's Word. It helps me to navigate. It helps me to think. It helps me to understand, how do I navigate what I am going through right now? And so, I think one of the most amazing parallel is the idea of when the Israelites were having the exodus from Egypt. And they were going on what we call a journey. They didn't know how long that journey was going to be, but that journey took 40 years. And so we're going to read some scriptures this morning, a bit of scripture. And the reason why I want you to notice the details of the preparation. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about a word that's used, it's a religious word, that I'll explain here in a few moments, the idea of consecration. But in order for us to have a time of consecration, we need to be prepared, have a time of preparation. before we go on this journey. And so this morning, we want to be prepared. You know, when you came in this morning, before, there were no chairs here. Some people set up the chairs. Some people set up the auditorium. Some people set up the technical stuff. There's preparation. The brothers and sisters practice preparing so that we can worship to God together with preparation. I am so grateful. 37 years ago, when I was studying the Bible, and you guys know the story well. I've told it so many times, but I'll retell you. I remember I started studying the Bible with the campus minister because I felt sorry for him because I figured he needed to do something for his job. Only to realize that's the arrogance that filled my heart. Only to realize I was not a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so I, in my zeal, wanted to commit myself to the Lord. And one of the things that a minister did, and the guy who was studying the Bible with me, I came that Monday night and I said, I'm ready to get baptized. And they said, Tony, I'm not sure you're ready. You need to take another night to think about this. And I thought, what in the world? But I'm really grateful. I'm really grateful that there were time spent with me in a very detailed manner to talk to me about preparing me for the most important decision that I am going to make. Preparation was not only good, but dare I say, necessary. And I tell you, the better prepared you are, the better journey you will have. Before we read a scripture, let me reason with you a little bit. When we're not prepared, let's say, for example, we're late. And we jump in the car. It's amazing how people can't drive when you're late. It's amazing how people inconvenience you when you're late. It's amazing how angry you get because other people are so stupid when you're not prepared. And what starts happening, you start rushing things. You have a fight with your wife. You have a fight with your husband. You have a fight with your children because you weren't prepared. And it's everybody else's fault except yours. And when you're not studying for your exams, and you're saying, man, this professor was stupid. They didn't teach me properly. How can I know this? Only because you're studying 5 minutes before the exam and you weren't prepared. And the more prepared you are, it's amazing how other people are so nice. It's amazing how much calmer your spirit is and your blood pressure goes down when you're more prepared. And I tell you this, our world is not doing a good job to help us prepare because we live in an instant world. And the idea of slow cooking a meal is passé. We have air fryers, we have pressure cookers, we have, Instant Pot, we have microwaves, we have all these convection ovens that cooks from the top and the bottom and the side and all 60 around, and it's quicker. And so this idea is, a lot of us, we time our lives. If we hit all the lights, we get there at the right time, but if we don't hit all the lights, what's wrong with these stupid people that traffic control? What is wrong with these people? we stress ourselves out due to a lack of preparation. Much earlier than you should. And you didn't have all the documents. And you're saying, man, why are you such a stickler for rules? Because you were ill-prepared. It's amazing. And so with that mindset, I want to talk a little bit about this Exodus and the preparation. So we'll do some Bible reading. I don't need my glasses. I just want to pull some of you guys in. That's all. Exodus chapter 12. We'll read quite a bit of scriptures. So what's happening here, just to give you the idea, right? The nine plagues had been done, and actually the 10th one just happened. And now Pharaoh's saying, okay, you gotta go. Okay, we can't have you stay here any longer. And there's some instructions, and this is what it says. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month is to be your beginning of months. It will be your first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, in the 10th day of this month, they each must take a lamb for themselves according to their families, a lamb for each household. Oh, Exodus 12. First, okay, all right, great. Let's start in verse 3 again. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, they each must take a lamb for themselves according to their families, a lamb for each household. If any household is too small for a lamb, the man and his next door neighbor are to take a lamb according to the number of people. And you will make a count for the lamb according to how much each one can eat. By the way, even from inception, this idea of a relationship with God is a community thing. It always has been, and it always will be. That's why I think, and I will say it over and over again, the idea of Sunday worship in your living room, turning on a television, because you just didn't feel like getting up, is not the intention of what God wants for us to be living in. Now, on a pinch, cool. As a ministry, okay. But not as a faith community. Your lamb, in verse 5, must be perfect, without blemish. In other words, it can be one that you didn't want. It's not like, oh, let's donate some clothes to the Salvation Army, the ones that we don't wear anymore, and the one that's torn, and hey, I don't have a place to put it in the garbage, so I'm going to donate it to Salvation Army. That's not the kind. It's the one that is without blemish, without injury. It's the one that needs to be done. Your lamb must be perfect. A male, 1 year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You must care for it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole community of Israel will kill it around sundown. There's some specificities there. They will take some of the blood and put it on the two sides, side posts, and on the top door frame of the houses where they will eat it. They will eat the meat the same night. They will eat it roasted over the fire with bread made without yeast and with bitter herbs. We don't have time to delve into that, but the idea of why bitter herbs. The symbolism here is absolutely striking. And it's striking because the bitter herbs is to remind the Israelites what it was like and how difficult it was to be in slavery. That it was not leaving the land flowing with milk and honey. One of the reasons why, as well, we needed to understand is that it's very important that the instructions, and you'll see why in a second, are as specific as they are. Do not eat it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, its legs, and its entrails. You must leave nothing until morning. You must burn the fire, whatever remains of it, until morning. This is how you are to eat it, dressed to travel. Okay, in other words, ready to go. Have you ever had to be in a hurry in the morning, and so you slept in the clothes that you needed to, because it was like you need to get to the airport really early, and so dressed to go? Or did your parents ever call you and tell you, hey, I'm coming home, we're going to leave right away, dressed to go? That's what this is, dressed to go, okay? Snap, snap, hurry, hurry. Why? Your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, you are to eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We'll talk about why in haste in a second. I will pass through the land of Egypt in the same night, and I will attack all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of humans and animals. And all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this is the plague, and this plague will not fall on you to destroy you when I attack the land of Egypt. Of course, amazing what happens here. The foreshadowing of how the blood of the lamb was going to be covering those who will be saved. Ultimately, they will be saved just like how the blood of the lamb saves us today. The true lamb, the unblemished lamb. This is all a foreshadowing of how Jesus was going to be the unblemished lamb sacrificed for us. The symbolism is striking. And how it's important for us to cover ourselves with the blood of a lamb. Look what else happens. This day will become a memorial for you, and you will celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You will celebrate it perpetually as a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you must eat bread without yeast. Surely on the first day you must put away yeast from your houses, because anyone who eats bread made with yeast from the first day to the seventh day will be cut off from Israel. Harsh! On the first day, there will be a holy convocation, assembly, gathering. And on the seventh day, there will be a holy convocation for you. You must do no work of any kind on them, only what every person will eat, that alone may be prepared for you, so that you will keep the feast of the unleavened bread, because on this very day, I brought your regiments out from the land of Egypt. And so you must keep this day perpetually as a lasting ordinance. Now, you might say, well, do we do that? Is it a lasting ordinance? We'll see in a second. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month in the evening, as you will eat bread made without yeast until the 21st day of the month in the evening. For 7 days, yeast must not be found in your houses. For whoever eats what is made of yeast, that person will be cut off from the community of Israel, whether a foreigner or one born in the land. You will not eat anything made with yeast. In all the places where you live, you must eat bread without yeast. What is the issue with yeast? Then Moses summoned all the Israel elders of Israel and told them, go and select for yourselves a lamb or a young goat for your families, and kill the Passover animals. Take a branch of hyssop, dip it in blood that is in the basin, and apply it to the top of the door frame and the two side posts and some of the blood that is in the basin. Of course, he received instructions. He's passing on the instructions. Not one of you is to go out of the door of this house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike Egypt, and when he sees the blood on the top of the door frame, the two side posts, then the Lord will pass over the door, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You must observe this event as an ordinance for you and for your children forever. And when you enter the land that the Lord will give to you, just as he said, you must observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then you will say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. And when he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, when he struck Egypt and delivered our households, the people bowed down low to the ground, and the Israelites went away and did exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. And so what happens here is that the Israelites were going to have this mass exodus. There were some specific instructions. Why was it done without yeast? You see, what happens is when you put yeast in bread, it takes longer to break, to bake. It takes longer to make. When Pharaoh, after he had it with what the Lord had told him, they needed to be dressed, ready to go. They needed to be in a hurry. And by the way, it was 600,000 just men, not including women and children. There was a rhyme to the reason. There was a method to the madness. And so God instructs them and said, you need to be prepared for when you are about to embark on this journey. And if you don't do the instructions that I ask you to, you will be cut off. Harsh. Harsh. If you don't understand. If you don't treat the Lord as holy. And so there were specific instructions. One for posterity's sake. Ultimately, he says, when your children ask you this, you're to tell them. And there's so much symbolism and memorial that needs to be done so that we remember what God has done for us, to us, and because of us. It's why we gather together. It's why I just don't, if I have nothing else to do, then I come to worship with my faith community. That's not how God instructs his people. It's because I have nothing better to do. No, I have nothing better to do. No, I have nothing better to do. Just before I got up here, Phil Osagi texts me. He says, hey, I'm in Nigeria, in Lagos right now, but just want to tell you, I'm tuning in because I love the Ottawa family of church. I love to be encouraged. And there are games we play. I play them too. Shame on me. And there are specific instructions that God gives us. We pick it up in verse 35. Now the Israelites had done as Moses told them. They had requested from the Egyptians silver and gold items and clothing. Get this. God told them, not only should you be ready, but before you go, the very people who were your slave owners, I want you to ask them for gold and silver. The Lord gave the people favor inside of the Egyptians, and they gave them whatever they wanted, so they plundered Egypt. That's crazy. Of course, they were going to use the gold and silver later on. That ultimately, the temple that was to be built was from the gold and silver. And God gives instructions, and sometimes you don't understand it. You might say, wait a minute, man, isn't this going to stop us from really, isn't this heavy? Isn't it going to slow us down? I don't get it. There are a lot of times we don't see the wisdom of the instruction that God gives us. Or the immediacy of it is not very obvious to us. And sometimes we think we know better. Well, do I really have to declare all of my money that I earn? I mean, the government has enough, doesn't it? Oh, I got extra change. Do I really have to go back and give it? Hey, should I really, really not have sex before marriage? I mean, if you buy a shoe, don't you have to try it on? Somehow a shoe is the same as a relationship. Man, I remember when I was a younger man and I was twittipated with the fairest maiden of them all, right here. If you don't know what twittipated is, you need to go watch some Disney movies. Bambi, it's from that. Okay, it's in that one. All right. And so one of the things that I wanted, I said, help me not mess this up. Help me make the second most important decision that I will make on this face of the earth. If I need counseling on anything, this is what I need counseling on. This is what I need help with. And I know for guys, there are two things that we don't need help with, we think. Our marriage and the way we spend our money. But sometimes instructions is problematic with us because we don't see the immediate reason behind it, or you don't agree with the immediate reason. I remember when my kids, I will talk with them, and when they were that age, when they knew everything, like 12 and 13. And I would, the rule that I had is that if my son or daughter, my, in particular my younger one, loved to challenge my mental acuity. And so he'll ask me, and I'll say, why? And I'll explain to him. And then he says, why? Then I'll explain to him. And he says, why? I said, listen, if I tell you twice and you don't understand it, then you're not old enough to understand it. You just need to do as I tell you. You don't understand it? Dude, I've explained it to you as clearly as I possibly can. That means you don't have the mental capacity to understand all the reasons why. And so there are times in our lives when we are spiritual adolescents and we do not understand the instructions that God has given us, that sometimes it will be used hundreds of years later for the Israelites. He was preparing them. He was preparing them. And he says, you ought to instruct your children about this. The specifics about this preparation was remarkable. And that's the journey that we have been trying to do. in your newsletter, you'll get some links. The app has been prepared. The website has been prepared. The podcasts have been prepared. Listen, when I tell you there's been hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in this, it would be not an overstatement. We gathered our gold and silver to help pay for a little of it. And there's some that are going to miss the experience because you weren't prepared. Chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Set apart to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites, whether human or animal, it is mine." It's still practiced today. Not as much within the Jewish tradition. There is something called where you redeem your first male in the family. You literally buy them back. Because what used to happen is that all the firstborn from the Israelites used to be set apart for the priesthood. Now when the Levitical priesthood became part through Aaron, they didn't need to do that anymore. So they needed to redeem them, buy them back, set them apart, consecrate. The idea of consecration is that you set it apart. We do consecration all the time. You're saving for a car, you're consecrating that money for that. You're setting it apart. When I became a Christian, I consecrated myself sexually. And I know we have some young people here, but I'll help you to understand. There's one person in this world that I've ever had a sexual relationship with, one. It's my wife. I'm not planning on doing it with anybody else. Don't let the world tell you that it's a notch in your belt. That it's a lie. I remember talking with a man and he said, "I don't think God made us that way." Well, he made me that way. That I consecrated myself and said, "That's for my wife only, period." There are no games. There's no flirting. There's no, "Let me see if I still got it." It's not to be trifled with. This idea of consecration, when we set something apart for the Lord, they did that with the firstborn. We consecrate our time, our money, and our energies, and our talents, and our belongings for the Lord. And it's important for us to set that apart. And sometimes it's so conflated. We can't even differentiate. And the idea of consecration is a missing link in our spiritual journey. This is a time of consecration on a Sunday morning. That I say to myself, if I'm going to go have fun in Hamilton and participate in a golf tournament, my consecration time with God is not going to suffer because I chose to go to Hamilton. This is for my family. This time that I have consecrated to the Lord is for my family. This one. This idea has got to be embedded in us, consecrated time. There are some people with this journey that we're about to embark on and the preparation that went into it. Man, some people took it so incredibly seriously, and some people haven't even started. How do you think you're going to get out? What do you think you're going to get out of this journey? It's for your benefit. You know what's going to happen on a Sunday? It's NFL first weekend. You have some consecrated time for that. But we don't have it for the Lord. We have it for the Raptors, or the Blue Jays, or the Senators, or the Leafs. And we do that about other things. We have consecration in our lives. The question is, are they consecrated to the Lord? Are they set apart? They're distinguished for that purpose. Including our money. Verse 8, you are to tell your son on that day, chapter 13, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. It will be a sign for you on your hand, and a memorial on your forehead, so that when the law of the Lord may be in your mouth, for with a mighty hand the Lord brought you out of Egypt. So you must keep this ordinance at its appointed time from year to year. Verse 14, in the future, when your son asks you, what is this? You are to tell him, with a mighty hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the land of slavery. I'll close today's sermon with this passage. Matthew chapter 25. In verse, I'll just read it, and just I'll make one comment. Verse 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of the virgins were foolish and 5 were wise. And if we were to have any wits about us, we will want to find out why they were wise and why they were foolish. When the foolish ones took their lamps and did not take extra olive oil with them, but the wise ones took flasks of olive oil with their lamps. When the bridegroom was delayed a long time, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom is here. Come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give me some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "they wouldn't be for us, enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they had gone to buy it, the bridegroom arrived, and those who were ready went inside with him to the banquet. When the door was shut, later the other virgins came through saying, "Lord, Lord, let us in." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore stay alert, because you don't know the day or the hour." Preparation. They weren't prepared. You know when they weren't prepared what they wanted? From other people. Right. Every internship summer, the first thing I talk to the interns about, it says, listen, you are going to get out of this what you put into it. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to get out of life what you put into it, not what other people give you. Not what the government gives you. Not what your neighbor gives you. Not what your family gives you. You're going to get out of life what you put into it. Now, If we get gifts from other people, awesome. They weren't prepared. The consequences were harsh to the uninformed. How come the wise ones brought oil? How come they didn't? They weren't prepared. That's my number one job, is to prepare you. Of course, myself. That's one of my most important jobs. And so this morning, the ordinance of the Passover and the blood ought to be kept perpetually. That's what the communion is. We are reminded of the fact that the blood of the Lamb has been spread on us. And that because of the blood of the Lamb being spread on us, death will not be a part of our life. Oh, physical death, but not ultimate eternal life. We are going to be spared from that. We still hold true to it today. It's why we come together. It's why we gather together. As a remembrance. And someone asks you, when your son asks you, you tell them how good the Lord is. Listen, if there's any story you need to understand well, it's the Exodus story. It is the framework for every part of our Christian life. Ultimately, they were foolish and wise because they were ill-prepared, the ones who were foolish. You're going to get out of what we're going to be embarking on, the 3 years. Some of you are going to be absolutely thrilled and take you to a place where you've never been before spiritually. That's not to say you're terrible right now. I'm just saying, man, this is fantastic. Some of you are going to say, man, that was a colossal waste of time. And I will tell you the difference is your preparation and your consecration. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, I hear it from a guy who's now marrying the children of the people that he married. He's getting old. And so this morning, I just wanted to be like James and tell you, you got your jacket hooked up in your pants. Wake up. It's not a game. It's not a game. And so the song that we're going to sing during the communion is a song entitled, O Lord, Prepare Me. It's an homage to God that says, Lord, I'm doing as much preparation, but I need you to help me with my preparation. Oh, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. True and holy, tried and true. And so as we remember the ordinance that was issued to the Israelite, even in the Exodus. And it is to be a lasting ordinance. We also do the unleavened bread. That's why we take what it's without yeast. We still keep it. And so as we take these emblems, let us be grateful for what Christ has done for us, to us, and because of us. And as we sing this song, let us meditate on what God has done for us. Let us give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. God, we thank you so much. God, thank you so much for the blood, the perfect blood that was put over us for those who have been consecrated by you, set apart. Thank you We will tell our children, our neighbors, and the whole world about what you have done for us. But at this moment, we want to take this time in our own hearts to be grateful. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.